A royal blue background fills the screen with white words at its center. Sony Pictures Classics. Es cine español. Con la financiación del gobierno de España. Con la participación de RTVE. Credits appear in Spanish over a series of moving abstract paintings. El Deseo presents a title, Dolor y Gloria, Pain and Glory. A film by Almodóvar. Antonio Banderas. Asier Echeandía. Leonardo Sparaglia. Nora Navas. And Julieta Serrano. Presenting César Vicente and Asier Flores. And the special collaboration of Penelope Cruz. Credits continue in Spanish. Written and directed by Pedro Almodóvar. Now red lighting fades from a patterned stone wall. A moving view lowers to an indoor swimming pool. An underwater view glides over the pool tiles toward a man with a graying beard wearing swim trunks. Keeping his eyes shut, he stands submerged with his knees bent and arms extended. A long scar runs vertically along his spine. Our view closes in on his face as he continues holding his breath. The bearded man's image fades, revealing a flowing river. Four women kneel on the sunny riverbank and use washboards to scrub laundry in the water. A dark-haired boy sits on one woman's back. Subtitles appear. I'd like to be a man so I could swim naked in the river. Come on. What an idea. And the water could get in all around your cooch. That'd be nice. Wouldn't it? Before you jump in, lift him off me. He's breaking my back. Come on, Salvador. Rosita lifts Salvador off his mother. Here's a stick to play with. All right. Help me with the sheets. Coming. Salvador's mother spots fish swimming near a bar of soap in the shallows. The little soapfish, there they are. Salvador smiles. The little soapfish. Sing us something, Rosita. They're lovely. Look at them. Salvador shares a smile with his mother as she joins the singing. Rosita and another woman spread a sheet. Salvita, don't move from there. Salvador's mother and another woman join their companions. The four women spread wet sheets on tall grass to dry. Siempre a la verita tuya, siempre a la verita tuya. Hasta que la muerte muera. Mira que dicen. Rosita snaps her fingers and dances.
Mira que la tarde aquella. Mira que se fue y se vino.
The women turn their heads dramatically.
De su casa a la Alameda.
Salvador smiles at them.
Mirando. Así empezó.
Now the bearded man surfaces in the pool as he opens his eyes. Sitting in a lounge area, an elegant woman sips wine and looks at her phone. She spots the bearded man, now fully dressed, crossing the room.
Salva.
Salva.
Soy Zulema.
I'm Zulema.
Qué
What a surprise. This is wonderful. She hugs him. Have you time for a coffee or are you in a hurry? Later. If you don't write or film, what will you do? Live, I guess. I can't live without acting. It gets harder all the time, but I do everything I'm offered. Do you see Alberto? I believe he was in Argentina. No, in Mexico. He was working on some soaps, but he's back now. I met him at a Latino film festival on the Mayan Riviera. He was charming, high, of course, but it was a really nice reunion. Have you seen him?
No.
I haven't seen him since the premiere of Sabor. But that was 30 years ago?
32.
Salvador nods. You know, I saw the film again last week. Hadn't you seen it again? Not since the premiere, and I shouldn't say this, but it moved me. I've always loved it. The Cinematheque has restored the negative, and they're doing several screenings. They asked me to present it, and I'd like to do it with Alberto. I'm glad you don't hold a grudge. The bastard never played the character I'd written. At the time, I wanted to kill him. But really, I don't hold a grudge. His performance is better now than 30 years ago. It's your eyes that have changed, darling. The film is the same. Do you know how to contact him? He lives in El Escorial, in someone's house. He works occasionally. He's well, without giving up. You know what I mean. She looks at her phone. I'm surprised that you're the one not working. I always thought you'd never retire. So did I. Is your number still the same? Yes. I'll send you his details and mine, too, in case you get bored and write something that only I can do. A gray-haired man in a suit sits at a piano nearby. He plays. A close view shows the keys. At a school, a bespectacled priest plays piano. A bald priest leads a group of boys in two rows across a small gymnasium to the piano. Stop here. I'll leave you with Friar Jose Maria. Good morning, boys. First, we'll choose who will be in the choir. If anyone has sung in a choir before, raise your hand. The boys stare. Well, we'll try you out. You, come here. What's your name?
Rodolfo.
Let's see how you vocalize. Repeat after me. Let's see.
La 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 la.
Da 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 da.
Jose Maria points.
Tú,
you, the next boy. What's your name? Salvador.
Bonito
a lovely
nombre.
Name. Do you like singing?
No sé.
I don't know.
Pero te gusta
but you
la
like
música,
music,
verdad?
Don't you?
Sí,
yes, I like the Beatles and the cinema.
Pues aquí,
here we'll develop your tastes and direct them to less pagan subjects. We'll do a vocalization test.
La 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 la.
La 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 la.
Ri.
Ri.
La 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 la.
La 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 la.
La 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 la.
On a stage. We'll warm up those voices, boys.
Así fue como
that was how I became the soloist in the choir. Jose Maria conducts the boys' choir. Salvador sings in the front row.
Los
the priests decided I wouldn't attend geography and history classes, or science, or history of art. During the first 3 years of high school, while those subjects were taught, I was practicing, and I always passed the exams. They made me a total ignoramus who passed every subject without doing the exams. cut to black. Light reveals the word geography. In animation, a map shows Spain, then the globe.
Con el tiempo,
with time, I became a film director. And I started to learn Spanish geography while traveling to promote the films I directed. I traveled because I was successful. My knowledge of geography coincided with my growth as a filmmaker. Anatomy. The animation shows DNA strands and diagrams of the body. I got to know my body through pain and illness. I lived my first 30 years with relative abandon, but I soon discovered that my head and what was inside it, as well as being a source of pleasure and knowledge, also carried within it infinite possibilities for pain. Medical scans show areas of the body. I soon became acquainted with insomnia, chronic pharyngitis, otitis, reflux, ulcers, and intrinsic asthma. Nerves in general, and the sciatic in particular. The animation shows diagrams of a man's nervous system and all kinds of muscular pain. Lumbar, dorsal, tendinitis in both knees and shoulders. Waveforms appear over an ear. This is tinnitus. I have that too. A diagram shows stylized lungs. These are wheezes or whistles. I also suffer from those. Brightly colored brain scans appear. As well as tinnitus and wheezes, my speciality is headaches. Migraines, tension headaches or cluster headaches, and back pain. After the spinal fusion operation, which immobilized more than half of my back, I discovered that my life would revolve around my spinal column. I became aware of each one of my vertebrae and of the number of muscles and ligaments that make up the mythology of our organism, and that, as with the Greek gods, our only way of relating is through sacrifice. A group of muscular human diagrams stand and sit in dramatic poses. But not everything is so physical and illustratable. I also suffer from abstract hardships, pains of the soul, such as panic and anxiety, which add anguish and terror to my life. And naturally, I've dealt for years with depression. Now Salvador rides in a taxi. On the nights when various pains coincide, that's when I believe in God and I pray to Him. The days when I only suffer one kind of pain, I'm an atheist. The taxi drives uphill on a residential street. The vehicle stops outside a house. Salvador pays the driver, then eases himself out of the car. Thank you. The taxi leaves and Salvador crosses the narrow street. He presses a button on an intercom by a gate. Who is it?
Alberto,
it's Salvador. Salvador who?
Salvador Mayo.
Salvador glances up the street. Alberto, a shaggy-haired man with a goatee, wears a suspicious look as he approaches the other side of the gate. What are you doing here? I have to talk to you. About what? About Sabor. Will you ask me in? Alberto reluctantly opens the gate and Salvador steps through. They enter the house. A poster for Sabor hangs in the kitchen. Can I get you anything? Whatever you're having. I was making some tea. That's fine. Look at that. I love that you've got Sabor here. Why have you come? It's taken me 32 years to reconcile myself with this film. 32 years. He enters the living room. This is lovely. What are those trees? Firs? Pines. Why the fuck have you come to see me after 32 years? Alberto gives him tea. The Cinematheque has restored Sabor. They've decided it's a classic, and they've programmed it in a season of films shot in Madrid. They rang to ask me if we'd present it together. Don't they know we haven't spoken since then? If they do, they didn't mention it.
Alberto, gossip grows old, like people. Do you mind if we sit down? Go ahead. Thank you. Why do you want us to present it together now? They sit. Because you didn't do it at the premiere. Because you forbade me. So it's only fair that the two of us present it now. Salvador raises his brow. He looks down, and Alberto follows his gaze to rolled-up tin foil on the floor. Salvador eyes Alberto, who sips his tea. In the backyard, Salvador sits on a sun lounger. Alberto carries over tin foil and a small pipe. Who gave you my address?
Zulema.
I met her by chance, and we talked about you. Alberto puts the pipe in his mouth. I'm going to chase the dragon. If the sight disgusts you, you can leave. We can talk on the phone about the Cinematheque. He holds a lighter under the foil. May I? Alberto stares at him. I don't recognize you, Salvador. Is it your first time? Yes. And why do you want to try heroin at this stage? Curiosity. I bet you're doing research for something. Alberto ignites the lighter and moves it under the foil. He leans the pipe close to the top of the foil and follows the lighter's path as he inhales. Alberto sits up and briefly turns away. He offers the pipe to Salvador, who puts down his drink. The bearded man takes the pipe, and Alberto holds the lighter under the foil. The drop. Salvador inhales smoke through the pipe, then coughs. Alberto smiles. Salvador leans his head back on the sun lounger with his lips parted. He closes his eyes. Salvador. At a train station, young Salvador grabs a book from a trash can and flips through it.
Salva.
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 Inside, his mother holds a quilt. Come and help me. Mom, I found a novel. Good, leave it there. Take that. How was I to know it was a holiday here? It isn't a holiday in our village. I didn't know either. What a night we're going to have. They lay the quilt on the floor. The shame of it. Later, Salvador sits on a bench and views a booklet of collector's cards showing classic Hollywood movie stars. His mother cuts into a loaf of bread. Open the chocolate. All right. He puts down the booklet and unwraps a bar of chocolate. He finds cards inside. There are two cards. Leave the cards for now. We're going to eat. Liz Taylor and Robert Taylor. Are they brother and sister? I guess so. His mother puts chocolate between two pieces of bread and hands the sandwich to Salvador. Eat up. What a disgrace. Dumped here like gypsies. I like the station. You're a dreamer. I don't know who you took after. Later. Wrap up well. Don't get ill on top of everything. He lies on the bench. She takes off his shoes and finds a hole in his sock. My God, what a huge hole. I didn't see it before. Give it to me. I'll sew it. Salvador's mother opens a wicker basket and takes out a tin. She shows him a wooden egg. Look, with the egg. Lie farther back and go to sleep. When your father was in the army, he learned to sew and darn and to iron shirts. He did it very well. With the egg in the sock, the mother sews up the hole. Will I go into the army? I guess you'll have to go. I don't want to. And I don't want you to go. It's useless. Mom? What? Do you think Liz Taylor sews Robert Taylor's socks? I don't know. From the photos, she doesn't look as if she likes darning. In the backyard. Are you all right? As Alberto strokes his face, Salvador opens his eyes and nods. Don't forget to breathe. In a sunny village with white stone buildings, Young Salvador carries luggage with his parents.
God,
what a long night. I thought we'd never get here. I told you to wait until I got settled in. Your mother was fed up with us. Don't say that. You know what she said 3 days ago? This month, my bread bill has gone up so much. Can you believe it? Ignore her. You know what she's like. I won't be a burden to anyone. That same day, I packed our bags, and here we are. Salva, the boy locks eyes with a young worker. Come here, or would you rather be alone? Jacinta, don't say that, but you could have waited a few days. Is it much farther? No. The father stops at a clearing. We're here. Is our house here? We're on top of it. Jacinta looks around. What? On top of it. Jacinta finds a grate covering a low, open roof. She and Salvador look down into a tiled underground room. A cave. It's the best I found. For God's sake, a cave. Jacinta follows her husband and son downhill. How can we live in a cave? There are over 300 families living in caves. It's typical of this village. There's no shame in it. Is this our house, Dad? This is it, son. Go in. The father opens a worn wooden door. A cave. For God's sake. It was your idea to leave the village and come here. What would they say there if they saw us? Stepping inside the cave, Jacinta finds a sparsely furnished home with uneven white walls and ceilings. She stares at a narrow bed in an alcove. Nearby, a suitcase and a shirt rest on a wooden chair. I didn't have time to whitewash it, that's why I wanted you to wait. It's all in a mess. We have to fix it up. Mom, look, the sky. Salvador looks up at the open roof. She steps down a passage. Look! Jacinta joins him in the sunny room with the tiled floor and wears a disappointed expression. Salvador hugs his mom, who puts her arms around him. She looks at the blue sky through the grate. Jacinta looks around the kitchen area. A simple wood stove stands near a bench and an unfinished workspace. Her husband carries in the wicker basket. He smiles softly, then sets down the basket and approaches them. He puts his hands on his hips. I cleaned it as well as I could. Are you happy we're here? I wanted something else for you. You think I'm happy bringing you to a cave? There was nothing else. It's all right. I'll make it look like a home. Come on. She kisses him. But your mother really saying that about the bread in front of him? The father nods. He loves it. Jacinta smiles. I don't want to see you so serious. It makes you look ugly. Dad, can I start sweeping? At Alberto's. I need a taxi to collect me. Just a minute. What's the address? Calle Ponton, 89. Calle Ponton, 89, in San Lorenzo de El Escorial, to go to Paseo del Pintor Rosales, 108. That's right. Yes, in Madrid. Very well, 15 minutes. Thank you. Salvador and Alberto walk to the front gate. So you're clear about the Cinematheque? The 18th, in 3 weeks. I'm even planning my outfit. But we'll talk before that, right? They step through the gate. Well, what's this? Can't we exchange two kisses like old friends? We've even smoked the peace dragon. Alberto kisses his cheeks. All right. He watches Salvador, who eases himself into the back seat of a taxi. The car drives uphill. Now Salvador enters his apartment. He finds a note on a side table which reads, "Miss Mercedes rang. Call her as soon as you can." He takes out his phone. At a desk, a blonde woman answers the call. Hello?
Hola.
It's me. Salvador, is it true about the Cinematheque? Yes. Keep me informed. Don't shut me out so much. I was going to tell you. I'm delighted they're showing Sabor and that you're appearing, but do you really want a Q&A? The place will be full. It isn't that I want a Q&A, I'm just curious to see if the film has survived these 30 years. You'd better believe it. But if you decide not to go, tell me and I'll sort it out. Better to cancel now than at the last minute. All right, bye. Nighttime. I'm leaving now. Do you need anything? No, thank you, Maya. See you tomorrow. Maya leaves. He was the loneliest man death had ever seen. Salvador reads silently in bed. I entered the room where Johannes was. He had rolled over into a ball, so there was no room for me. When I tried to make a space for myself, he woke, and we made love. He makes a note in the book. But loneliness stayed with me, and I couldn't expel it from my heart. We were as close as two people could be, but each in his own world. Salvador wakes on a green sofa. He wearily sits up. Straightening his posture, he stands without bending his back. He approaches the door. He looks through the peephole. On the other side, Alberto smiles and waves. Salvador opens the door.
Hola.
Hello. Were you going to answer? I wasn't expecting anyone, and I've got a headache. If you want, I'll go. No, you're here now. Alberto enters. He looks around the dimly lit apartment with paintings hanging on the walls. And do you live like this, in darkness? When I've got a headache, yes. Poor thing. You've got one hell of a house. You want anything? Any liquor. Alberto regards a painting. This is wonderful. In the kitchen, Salvador tries to steady himself as he coughs. Alberto grabs him. What? Salvador turns red. Breathe through your nose. Through your nose. Wait. Water. Alberto fills a glass. Take it easy. Wait. Breathe. Drink. Salvador sips the water. Be careful. Drink slowly. He gives the glass back. I choke on nothing. Alberto puts down the glass, then pours a shot of liquor. I thought you were dying. Alberto drinks the shot. I'm fine. It happens from time to time, and it's horrible. In the living room, Alberto puts down a piece of tinfoil. Salvador sits beside him on a couch. He watches Alberto unfold a slip of paper. Alberto sprinkles a small amount of brown powder onto the foil. With his mouth, he removes a pipe from a tube, then hands it to Salvador. Alberto curves the foil lengthwise, then ignites the lighter underneath it. Salvador inhales the smoke through the pipe. He pauses, then inhales more. Alberto takes the pipe, and Salvador sits back. A TV shows teen girls swimming lazily together in a pool. A man walks past. Alberto smokes the heroin. Salvador's eyelids droop closed. Alberto puts down the foil and pipe. He smooths back his hair and watches the TV. The two teens backpedal in the water, side by side. Alberto regards Salvador, then looks around the apartment. He glances at the drowsy man again, then gets up. Alberto walks by a bookshelf spanning a wall, then approaches a desk with a computer. He glances toward Salvador, then takes a seat. Alberto puts his hands on the desk, then faces the monitor. He grabs the mouse. Viewing the desktop display, Alberto smirks. Alberto looks at the titles of various document icons on the desktop. He stops on a document titled Addiction. Alberto looks intrigued. He turns to the living room. Sitting on the couch, Salvador leans on his hand with his eyes closed. Alberto faces the computer. He opens the addiction document. He silently reads it.
My
idea of cinema was always linked to the breeze on summer nights. We only saw films in the summer. On stage with a screen, Alberto speaks. The films were projected on an enormous wall that had been whitewashed. The screen shows movie clips. I particularly remember the films where there was water, waterfalls, beaches. He faces an empty theater. The bottom of the sea, rivers or springs. Just hearing the sound of water gave all the kids a tremendous desire to urinate, and we did it right there, on both sides of the screen. In the cinema of my childhood, it always smells of piss, and of jasmine, and of the summer breeze. Marilyn Monroe sings on the screen. Lying on the couch, Salvador wakes. He looks up and spots Alberto at the computer.
¿Qué haces ahí?
What are you doing there? Alberto's eyes glisten.
Leyéndote.
Reading you. I've just read Addiction.
Acabo de leer la adicción.
Pues no deberías.
You shouldn't have.
Algo
tenía I had to do
hacer.
Something. You were groggy.
Tú estabas groggy.
In the kitchen.
¿Puedo?
May I? Alberto points to a plate.
Sí, sí.
Yes. Alberto uncovers it.
Uy,
delicious.
Bueno.
Salvador drinks liquid yogurt.
Oye,
hey, the short story knocked me out.
No,
it isn't a short story.
Bueno, pues
well, whatever
sea.
It is,
podría
it could be staged just
cual.
As it is.
Gracias,
thanks,
gracias.
But it isn't a dramatic text.
Da igual.
It doesn't matter.
Yo
I could perform
tocarlo.
It. I really know what it's talking about.
Tú.
You? You're on the opposite lado, side of that text. You forget
actor.
That I'm an actor, and
y
I suffer very
bien.
Well. Reclining on a patio, Salvador stares off.
Salvador.
I need to act again. I came down from my pedestal a long time ago. I'm in touch with the Sala Mirador. I know it's a very small theater, very off. To put on La Belle Indifférente by Cocteau. With men, to give it that touch. But to be honest, I'd much rather do your text. Why not give me a copy and I'll show them? Alberto, stop. I don't understand. Why did you write it? To forget about the content, but I don't want to talk about it. Later, Salvador offers cash. Will you let me have what's left of the paper? I'm not a dealer. I'll give it to you. But use it with discretion. These late discoveries are the worst, and you're far too keen. They go to the door. Think about what I said about the Mirador. Yes. He opens the door. Did it get rid of your headache?
Totalmente.
Totally. You see? Alberto leaves. In a theater, a full audience applauds as credits roll. Among them, Mercedes claps. A facilitator talks with a man and a woman, then hunches over as he hurries up the center aisle. The man and woman place chairs on a low stage before the screen. The facilitator enters the lobby and stands by a poster for Sabor. He checks his phone and wears a concerned expression. Mercedes joins him. Is he on his way? I don't know. You organized all this yourself. I don't understand. He loved the restored print. The washroom? On your left. The audience member goes. Why don't you call him? Excuse me, is there a Q&A? Yes, the director is on his way. The facilitator makes a call. In his bathroom, Salvador splashes his face. He wears a maroon blazer. Wearing a leather jacket, Alberto grabs a phone. The Cinematheque. He passes it to Salvador. Give it to me. Salvador puts the phone in his pocket. I don't believe it. You organize all this and then you don't go. It took a lot of work to borrow this jacket. You go. Salvador enters the kitchen. On my own? I don't want to be seen like this. Seen how? It isn't a beauty contest. It's a fucking Q&A. I don't want to be seen drugged up and stammering. Salvador swigs liquor. When you step on stage, you'll control the situation. With what you've been, that was before, and without having taken heroin. At the Cinematheque, the facilitator nervously stands before the crowd. He answers his phone.
Salvador,
Salvador, where are you?
En casa.
At home.
¿Todavía?
Still, the film's over. The audience is waiting for you. Really? The facilitator taps his phone, then holds it to a microphone. I'm with Salvador Mayo. The crowd looks interested. We were intending to go. Alberto Crespo is with me. And the lead, Alberto Crespo. Would you mind applauding again so they can hear it? It might encourage them. In her seat, Mercedes frowns. Salvador puts his phone on speaker. Alberto looks surprised and they both laugh. The facilitator quiets the audience. Is everyone listening to me? Yes.
Salvador.
Well, I'd like to apologize to the spectators. At the last minute, I wasn't feeling well. Alberto prepares drugs. I'm with Alberto Crespo. He stayed to keep me company. Excuse me, someone's raising their hand. I think there's a question. It's a question for the director. Salvador rolls his eyes. Mr. Mayo, what do you think of Alberto Crespo's performance in the film? Some people say you weren't happy and that's why you grew apart. Salvador snorts a line. The facilitator raises his brow. Did you hear the question? Yes, I heard it. I read that after Sabor, you argued and didn't see each other again. Look, time is mysterious. I saw the film again a month ago, and I think Alberto's performance has gained a lot with time. Alberto scowls. An audience member stands. What did you not like about it? Salvador paces. Its heaviness. Its lethal rhythm. I conceived a dynamic character, a funny, scathing cocaine addict. Alberto didn't have the lightness I asked him for. Not because he was incapable, but because he was taking the opposite drug, heroin. Alberto glares. The rhythm of his performance was graver. The humor in the text disappeared. But I must be fair. Now I think that the gravity he brought goes well with the character. Alberto gets up. It gives him substance. He slaps the phone down. The audience looks puzzled. How dare you? I didn't mean to say it, but now it's said. Alberto grabs him. Be careful with me. I won't let you humiliate me again. He lets go. Who the fuck do you think you are? I just told the truth. You promised you wouldn't take heroin during the shoot. That's why I gave you the part, and you lied to me. You did what you wanted. I had to tell you someday. Alberto lowers his fist as Salvador glares. Alberto's eyes glisten and his lips tremble. You're fucking crazy. Alberto leaves. Salvador looks remorseful. In his bedroom, Salvador pops a pill out of a package. It falls on the floor. He glances at the empty package, then puts down a pillow and kneels on it to retrieve the pill. Now he slides six different pills on top of a cabinet. He covers them with plastic wrap, then crushes them with a lighter. He gathers the pieces into a pile, then crushes them again. He uncovers the multicolored powder, then slides it into a glass of water. Salvador drinks the mixture. He grimaces, then finishes the glass. Salvador winces. On top of his covers, he lies on his back, rubbing his forehead. An open book rests face down on his stomach. He checks his phone, then moves the book aside. He lies still and shuts his eyes. Daytime. In the kitchen, Maya peels potatoes while Mercedes cuts roses. I give him all the messages. He's been avoiding me lately. Is he really all right? He doesn't eat much, and he chokes a lot. Puree all his food. Does he go out? Not that I see, but he walks through the house along the hallway. I saw loafers by the door, and he never liked them. He wears them even though he's got 1,000 lovely sneakers. Tell him you don't mind doing up his shoes for him. It must be very hard for him to tie the laces. I do tell him, but he doesn't want me to. I think he's embarrassed. I feel sorry for him. I don't know what to do. Smile at him and take good care of him. If you see anything strange, call me. Everything here is strange. Mercedes nods. I know. In a rundown neighborhood, a group of young men talks by a graffitied wall. A taxi pulls up nearby. Salvador gets out. The taxi drives away. Wearing a t-shirt, jeans, and sunglasses, Salvador glances at the group, who notices him. The older man loiters on the sidewalk. One of the young men motions to his muscular friend, who walks over to Salvador. Can I help you with anything? I don't know. What do you want? A dose. The young man glances up the street. 10 euros.
10 euros, sí.
Pero no vayas a traer una Don't bring me shit. If it's good, I'll come back.
Dame la pasta.
Give me the money. When you bring the material. In cash and now. Salvador nods. He hands cash to the dealer. Wait here. The dealer walks off. In the street, two men square off. The smaller man wields a knife, and the larger man wields a machete. Salvador watches as the larger man cuts the smaller man's leg. Two men hold the larger man back. The group of young men gathers behind Salvador. The smaller man staggers, and someone holds him back. A man on a balcony calmly views his phone. Salvador looks anxious. He spots the dealer and approaches him. The dealer furtively hands him the dose as they pass each other. A police car drives by as Salvador continues along the sidewalk. At home, Salvador lies on the couch with a dazed expression. He wipes his nose, then falls asleep. In the village, young Salvador sits on a staircase and reads a book. The young worker and his girlfriend notice him. He's so young, and look at how he's reading. Hey, the boy turns. Can you write too? Yes. How much would you charge to write a letter to my aunt in Bilbao? I don't know. Jacinta approaches. What's this? We wanted your son to write a letter for us. My boyfriend is illiterate. When can I learn if I'm working all day? If you didn't waste your time drawing. Are you a builder? And a painter. What a pity. So handsome and illiterate. My Salvador can teach you to read and write. Can't you? The boy nods. At night, when you finish work. Whenever it suits you. Could you teach me maths, too? Yes. Of course, the four rules so no one can cheat you. In the world we live in, you can't be illiterate. I'll get paper and a pencil to write the letter. Salvador smiles. How much would you charge? Nothing. But as you're a builder, you could help me finish the kitchen and paint the walls a bit, when it suits you. It can only be Sunday. Sundays, that's great. And my Salvador will teach you to read, to write, the four rules, and today's letter is free. Thank you. In the cave, the young man paints the kitchen. A, B, C, Che, D. Eduardo, when will you put in the sink? Jacinta cooks. I have to wash all this in buckets. I wanted to finish the walls first. The sink is more urgent. I've got used to the paint coming off. Salvador gives me a lot of homework and I don't have time. Salvador, if he wants to read and write, he has to learn the alphabet by heart. Come on, start again. A. B, C, Che, F, J. No, it's F, G, H, I, J, K. You said it right before. There's a lot of letters. Stop complaining. That's what there is. Later, Eduardo writes. No, you don't hold it like that. Give me the pencil. The boy holds the pencil. Look, you hold it like this. Now you do it. Jacinta stitches nearby. Like this. Yes, like that. Salvador watches as Eduardo slowly writes. No, you don't have to hold it so tight. Let your hand go loose. I'll move it for you. Salvador guides his hand as he writes the letter U.
Estoy un poco nervioso.
I'm a bit nervous.
No pasa nada.
That's all right. It's much better like this.
¿Te gusta dibujar?
Do you like drawing?
Mucho.
A lot.
Entonces,
then you'll learn to write very soon. Writing is like drawing, but with letters. Now do it on your own. Salvador takes his hand away and observes. Eduardo writes with a looser grip. Salvador smiles and nods. That's it. Jacinta sews. Read the sentence. One. Holy. A photo shows Salvador's parents. Catholic. Apostolic. One holy Catholic apostolic. Who's that? Spain. Who else could it be? Now write it all at once. Eduardo writes. Salvador watches closely. Very good. You're doing it more quickly now. Now in Salvador's apartment. There's a pile of invitations. You should go out somewhere. Cecil Beaton. I'll go with you. The dance season has started. Dimitris Papiano and Jan Fabre are coming to the Canal Theatres. The seats in theaters are the most uncomfortable for me, and I don't want to leave in the middle. He looks through invitations. Mercedes brings him tea. Did you go to see Dr. Galindo? No. I'm sick of doctors. She nods. How do you get the oxycodone? A friend gets it for me. His mother's a chemist. She eyes him, then grabs a book out of her handbag. This book came for you. He holds his glasses in front of his eyes and reads the cover. How to put an end to counterculture. Christ knows. He puts it down. The Guggenheim have asked for two of the Pérez Villaltas for a retrospective. Tell them no. Those paintings are my only company. I live with them. He shakes his head and sips his tea. Sorry. Mercedes takes her phone to the living room. He watches her. Hello. Go on. He gets up. Yes. In his bedroom, Salvador opens a small case. He takes out a tiny paper packet of heroin, a hand-rolled cigarette, and a black card. He shuts the case and unfolds the paper, then uses the card to scoop a tiny amount of heroin powder onto the case. Salvador licks the cigarette, then rolls it over the powder. He lights the cigarette, takes a puff, and coughs. Salvador waves the smoke. He takes another drag, then extinguishes the cigarette with his fingers. In the living room, Mercedes continues her phone call. I'm listening. Salvador returns. I have to hang up. I can't keep talking. He sits at the table and puts on sunglasses. It's none of your business where I am. Mercedes ends the call, and Salvador slowly looks up at her. She puts her phone in her purse. Anything wrong?
No.
No. Luis and I are getting a divorce. I didn't know you had problems. I didn't want to bother you. It's been going on for a while. And now that I'm at home so much, I can't keep fooling myself. She lights a cigarette. I'm sorry. So if you don't mind, I'd like to keep taking care of your mail. People like to get an answer, but it's always no. You should do something. You've got too much free time to think about your ailments. Give your brain something to keep it occupied. I'd like to do things too, but he shrugs. You could write. You've got loads of documents full of ideas to develop. I'll make a list. I don't want to write if afterwards I can't film it. And you know better than anyone that I can't film in this condition. Without filming, my life is meaningless. But that's how things are. They go to the door. Call me for whatever you need. They kiss each other's cheeks. Mercedes leaves. Later, Salvador sleeps in bed. In the cave, young Salvador sits at the table with Jacinta and a white-haired woman.
Jacinta,
the cave looks beautiful. And that light. It rains at times. You can't be so selfish. We need the rain. Think of the countryside, the farmers. That's true. Of course. The white-haired woman turns to Salvador. Well, let's see. Since your mother told me that at the age of 9 you were a teacher, I thought, that boy must be for God. He's always been ahead of boys his age. Do you like teaching? Yes. Would you like to study? A lot. Why? To know more and to be able to teach more things. Very good. She turns to Jacinta. That's what I call a vocation. I'll speak to Friar Jose Maria and he'll see to everything. Thank you. Next year, you'll enter a seminary to study for your high school diploma. You'll have to behave. Not everyone gets a scholarship. So is the scholarship definite? Yes, it is. Don't worry. And you, don't show me up. Think you're one of the chosen. Well, I still have a few visits to make. You don't want some more juice? No, thank you. It was delicious. She walks with Jacinta. The walls look lovely with the whitewash. Yes, they're better. To tell you the truth, I really envy you. Me? Yes, you live in catacombs, like the ancient Christians. Yes, that's how we live. Shall I come and sew on Sunday? Yes, I'll expect you. Thank you. You're welcome. The white-haired woman steps through a colorful curtain and leaves. Jacinta returns to Salvador. Mom, what, my love? Is a seminary a place to become a priest? Yes. Shall I make one of those potato omelets you like? Sweetheart, I don't want to be a priest. You don't have to be one. Then why send me to a seminary? Because for the poor, that's the only way to study. That's why. What can I do? Jacinta goes to a counter and puts down a potato. She turns. Jacinta heads outside and climbs uphill. She looks around and spots Salvador running up the stairs outside a stone tower. That child. He stops and crosses his arms. Come down. I don't want to go to the seminary. When you get your diploma, you can leave. We'll think of a way for you to have a career, so you don't end up like your father. I don't want to go to school. I want to stay here. And what will you do here? Kill yourself working in the fields or on building sites? Is that what you want? I don't want to be a priest. Now Salvador reads silently at home. I find life distasteful, like a useless medicine. And that's when I feel and can clearly picture how easy it would be to get rid of this tedium if I had the simple strength of will to really want to get rid of it. He draws a bracket by the passage. On Alberto's street, he turns from a taxi. He goes to the gate and presses the intercom. Who is it? It's me. Go away. He presses it again. Alberto stands on the other side of the gate. Go away, or I'll call the police. I'm here to negotiate. I'll give you the rights to perform addiction. I don't believe you. Go away. Really. I've got a copy of the text. Please let me in. Alberto grudgingly approaches. If it's a trick, you'll leave worse than you are now. He opens the gate for Salvador. What's up? Are you on hunger strike? They enter the house. Are you still thinking of doing cocteau in the Mirador? Yes. But I've got lots of doubts. The text is beautiful, but it's become outdated. If you really give me addiction, I'll go full out on it. I'd have to tell them at the Mirador. Salvador takes out a folder. Here it is. Alberto stares at him. Why this change of heart? I revised the text, like you said, and
Te sigo contando.
First, make me some tea.
Claro.
Of course. Alberto gets up.
¿Algo más?
Anything else?
Sí, no,
I don't want to be credited. No don't say it's mine.
No,
I don't want to appear anywhere.
Muy bien.
Very well.
¿Me dirigirás
Will
tú?
You direct me? No.
Hombre, eso ayudaría.
That would help.
Dáselo a la del teatro,
Let the people at the theater read it and decide if they're interested, but don't give
no
my name. So who's the author?
Tú.
You. Or we'll invent a pseudonym. No. I'll sign it.
Yo lo firmo. Pero no
but I don't understand. It's a confessional text.
No quiero que
I don't want to be identified.
Yeah.
I see. Salvador enters the living room.
Sobre la
About the staging,
escena,
I suggest an empty stage, a screen, a chair, if you don't know what to do with your arms and hands. I know exactly what to do with my arms and hands. After correcting it, I admit that the text is a bit melodramatic now. Don't worry. I master melodrama. My years in Mexico will be of some use. That's why I'm telling you, you have to avoid sentimentality. Control the emotion. Don't cry. Actors take any opportunity to cry. The better actor isn't the one who cries. It's the one who fights to hold back his tears. Let me give you a kiss, honey. Alberto kisses Salvador on the lips, then sits at his desk. If you don't mind, I'm going to start working now. Stay if you want. Make yourself at home. I've got a lot of magazines from the 80s. You're in some of them, dressed as a woman. You soon forgot those times. But first, offer me some and give me your dealer's address. Tell him I'll go myself to pick it up. There's no need. They deliver it now, like telepizza. Alberto places a pouch and lighter on the desk. Lighter. Salvador unzips the pouch while Alberto looks through the printed text. Now Salvador smokes heroin. He pulls the pipe from his mouth and offers the tinfoil to Alberto. Here. Alberto looks up.
No.
Not yet. Why? I'm reducing the doses, just enough so I can work. And can you do it? Alberto nods. How do you think I'm still here? Going in and out. It's slavery. Salvador nods. But this play is vital for me, and I have to be as clean as I can to do it. I don't want to lose one iota of the emotion you've put into these pages. Salvador gives a dazed nod. Will you come to see me? I don't know. I don't think so. This time I'm not doing Shakespeare or Chekhov or Lorca. I'm doing you. If you do it badly, I'll feel terrible. And if you do it well, I'll feel much worse. Alberto nods, then looks at the story. He shakes his head and smiles. The cinema of my childhood always smells of piss. And of jasmine. And of the summer breeze. Salvador sleeps on a chair. In an empty theater, a red backpack rests on a seat. On stage, Alberto crouches by a stereo and dances. Swiveling his hips and arms, he stands up in front of a projector screen. With his eyes closed, he raises his arms and turns in a circle as he dances. He steps forward, moving rhythmically to the music. Alberto stops, then crouches and turns off the stereo. A stagehand carries the stereo off the stage, and Alberto sits on a red chair. He faces the empty seats with a soft smile. I met Marcelo in a washroom full of people. It wasn't the first time I'd seen him. But it was that night, after casually brushing against each other, when I discovered that I liked that boy. We spent the whole weekend in bed, and before I knew it, a year had passed, and we could no longer live without each other. It was 1981, and Madrid was ours. Now he stands by the screen. One day, I found Marcelo looking paler than usual. He'd been losing weight, and he looked haggard. He walks in front of a red backdrop. I asked him if he wasn't feeling well, and he confessed that he'd started fooling around with heroin. I was surprised because I'd never taken it. I drank, and I snorted cocaine like everyone, but never heroin. I sensed that it wasn't good, and I didn't like it. I was going flat out. I was writing a nighttime chronicle. I was appearing on musical shows. I was singing in a parody punk group. I was preparing my first film. I shot it. It was released. It was a success. I wrote the second. I shot it. I was doing 1,000 things. I wasn't sleeping while Marcelo was languishing on the couch at home or shut away in the bathroom or out of the house somewhere I didn't know. On a street, a man with graying hair looks up at a window as he walks. I spent the night coming and going from the window to the bed, always listening for the sound of the door. He spots a poster for Addiction outside the Mirador. Inside, he sits in a packed audience. Madrid had become a difficult ring, as bullfighting people say. So we traveled continuously, anything so as to get out of Madrid. The first days were the worst. While Marcelo was going cold turkey, I looked after him, and I wrote. I don't know how, but I wrote. Marcelo was very young. The effects didn't last long, 3 or 4 days. Then we'd go out on the street and have fun, like kids. Photos appear on the screen behind Alberto. I remember the Ivory Coast, dozens of muscular young men washing clothes in the river on wheel rims. The Malecón in Havana, by day or night. Old Havana, beating gently to the rhythm of unceasing percussions. The gray-haired man watches intently. I remember Mexico City. Marcelo and I, drunk, listening to Chavela Vargas singing The Night of My Love. I want. The gray-haired man's eyes glisten. The joy of a ship returning, 1,000 bells of glory pealing. Looking emotional, Alberto raises his hand to stop the music. Now he sits close to the audience. Those journeys, which were only to escape from Madrid, from heroin, became my best school. On those journeys, I found the inspiration to write the stories that I would tell years later and the colors that would illuminate them. The gray-haired man's lips tremble, but we couldn't spend our lives traveling. Sooner or later, we had to go back to Madrid. And Madrid was a minefield, a dead end. I was desperate. I didn't know what to do, except repeat myself. We both repeated ourselves for 3 long years. Alberto nods and fidgets, his eyes well with tears. I thought the strength of my love would defeat his addiction, but it wasn't so. Love isn't enough. Maybe love can move mountains, but it isn't enough to save the person you love. The gray-haired man watches with an emotional expression. Alberto holds back his tears. He turns to the projector screen as the audience watches with rapt attention. Alberto gets up and crosses the stage. He touches the screen. Under the whitewashed wall where the films of my childhood were projected, I prayed that nothing would happen to the leading ladies. But I didn't succeed, neither with Natalie Wood nor with Marilyn. Then I tried to save Marcelo and to save myself. If Marcelo was saved,
se salvó, fue lejos de mí.
It was far away from me.
En cuanto As a mí, for me, yo me quedé en
I stayed in Madrid.
Y el cine
and
me
the
salvó.
Cinema saved me. The gray-haired man smiles as he cries. In a dressing room. Come in. The gray-haired man enters. Alberto looks over at him.
Hola.
Hello.
Buenas noches.
Good evening.
Buenas noches.
Good evening.
Paso Come adelante. In.
The man steps forward.
Nos conocemos.
Have we met?
Sí.
Yes. Alberto shakes his head.
No te recuerdo.
I don't remember you.
Hace tiempo,
it was a long time ago when you were
sabor,
preparing Sabor with Salvador Mayo.
Lo siento,
I'm sorry,
no
I don't remember. We met two or three times. I'm Federico, the Marcelo in your monologue. Looking moved, Alberto briefly glances down.
¿Te ha gustado
Did
la
you
canción?
Like it?
No sé.
I don't know.
Gustame
like
la
isn't
palabra.
The word.
Me
it affected
mucho.
Me very much. You were crying, weren't you?
Sí,
yes,
supongo.
I guess.
Siéntate.
Sit down.
Imagino
I imagine you have some questions for me. Federico takes a seat.
Salvador
Is Salvador
vive?
Alive? In bed, Salvador reads a book. He glances at his phone, then puts the book down and answers the call.
¿Qué tal la
How did it go
hoy?
Tonight?
Muy bien.
Very well.
Llena.
Full house. A pity the theater is so small. It's better, you gain an intimacy. Tonight there was a very intimate spectator. Who? I'll tell you if you promise to come and see me in the theater. Who is that very intimate spectator? Federico. Federico who? Federico Delgado. You're Marcelo. He came to my dressing room. Salvador sits up. Did he recognize the text? Every word. On a street, Alberto looks around. He asked for your phone number and address. You didn't tell him anything else?
No.
I said nothing about you chasing dragons. Thank you. I'll come and see you one day. Furrowing his brow, Salvador hangs up. He receives a call from an Argentina number. Slowly, Salvador picks up his phone and answers. His vibrantly colored cabinet shows his reflection. He holds the phone to his ear.
Salvador?
Salvador?
Sí.
Yes. Is that you?
No,
I wouldn't have recognized you. This is Federico.
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 Estoy en Madrid.
I'm in Madrid. Salvador paces through his house.
¿Qué haces
what are you
aquí?
Doing here? Seeing lawyers about an inheritance. I'm leaving tomorrow night. I'd like to see you. Same here.
Pero
but I'm in bed now. Can we meet tomorrow? How about at midday? I'm seeing the lawyers in the afternoon.
Perfect.
Yes, perfect. I didn't ask how you are. Old. 5 years older than me, not one more. Salvador stares off and smiles briefly. And how are you? Federico stands on a sidewalk. I'm better now. When I left the theater, I was devastated. I went to see Addiction. How did you know it was on? By pure chance, I took a walk around Embajadores to see our old street. I was outside our house. Of course, the theater is a bit farther up. I went in to pass the time, and because I remembered Alberto Crespo from your film. And you found yourself suddenly... Yes. Suddenly. I don't know how to apologize. I didn't know how you were feeling. All that you'd suffered. It was a good school. What? You don't have to apologize. I didn't do anything I didn't want to do. Salvador sits at his desk. I tried to help you as far as I could. And I'm grateful. I'd like to prove it to you someday. Look, I don't think I can go to sleep after this. Can I have 20 minutes to shower and dress, and we'll meet at my place?
Venga.
Of course. Salvador sets a pillow on the floor and kneels in front of the cabinet. He opens it and reaches inside. With the edge of the black card, he scoops out a small amount of heroin and forms it into a line on the white top of the cabinet. He takes a hand-rolled cigarette from the small case and licks the side. Wearing an uncertain look, he pauses, then blows away the powder. Later, he sits on his bed and uses a shoehorn to put on leather loafers. He answers a phone on the wall.
Si?
Yes? It's Federico. Will you let me in?
Venga.
Come on. Salvador steps outside his front door and fidgets nervously. Federico steps off the elevator, and the two men share a smile. It's been so long. Come here. They hug. Too long. Breaking the hug, Salvador pats Federico's neck and face as he looks him over. Would you recognize me if you saw me in the street? I'd need to have looked closely, but yes, your eyes are the same. Federico pats his face. I'm sorry to get you out of bed. No, come in. Salvador leads Federico inside. Surveying the room, the visitor raises his brow. It looks like a museum. I invested all that I earned in this house and in these paintings. I'll give you a tour later. What'll you have? Anything. Tequila? Yes, tequila. In honor of Chavela. When you mention her in the monologue, I couldn't hold back the tears. Well, come on. Tequila for Chavela and to celebrate our reunion. Salvador goes to the kitchen and takes two shot glasses from a cabinet. Federico follows him. I love your house. Where do you live now? In Buenos Aires. Didn't you have an uncle there? Yes, I went there in 85. So soon? Yes. Shall I give you a summary now or after the toast? Salvador hands him a shot glass. Cheers. They down their shots. The summary. After we separated, I stayed with my parents for a year. At that time, the heroin routes didn't pass through Argentina, so I went there to my uncle and worked in his restaurant. I couldn't take heroin because there wasn't any. It was the best way to quit. I met Lucrecia, my wife. We got married. And now I have two grown sons, my own restaurant. I only ever came back to Galicia to see my parents. Salvador nods. This is the first time I've set foot in Madrid. Like you say in your monologue, Madrid had become a difficult ring for me. A minefield. It's a pity that you lived here. Salvador pours two more shots. I needed Madrid. And I needed you. But not under those conditions. Love isn't enough to save the person you love. It's in your monologue. Let's not talk about the monologue. It's a very sad text. Salvador drinks his shot. I felt better when you said that while caring for me, you still continued to evolve as a writer and as a filmmaker. Did you really feel like that? You didn't interrupt anything. Just the opposite. You filled my life like nothing and no one has done until now. They share a smile. So you haven't been back to Madrid since then? No. But I followed everything you did. And I was delighted when I recognized some scene obviously inspired by us. Each film of yours was an event in my life, and I was proud that you were a success around the world. You're the only Spanish director my family knows. Your new family. Federico's smile fades.
Sí.
Yes.
¿Saben algo?
Do they know anything else?
¿Te refieres
you mean
a
about us? Salvador nods.
Lucrecia.
Lucrecia, my wife.
Ah, mi ex-mujer.
Well, my ex-wife. We're separating.
Sí,
I told her, but she doesn't know it's
no
you. Just that I was with a man in Madrid for 3 years. And I told one of my sons to encourage him. With time, I'll tell him it's you. He's a real film lover, and he'd never forgive me if I didn't. Do you have a partner now? Yes. And you?
No.
Man or woman?
Mujer.
Woman. My experience with men ended with you. Salvador nods and smiles. I don't know how to take that. Take it as a compliment. Later, Federico shows a photo on his phone. That's Mauro, the younger one. He swipes to another photo. And this is Federico. He's 22 now. He's like you. He's the one I told. They're both very handsome. Salvador drinks. You have to come to Buenos Aires. You'll love the city, and I'm sure it'll inspire you. I want you to meet my family, to come and eat in the restaurant. We'll get drunk together. Later, they go to the door. Salvador looks Federico up and down, and Federico moves close. For the old days, he kisses Salvador passionately. They press their foreheads together, then share a smile. Do you want me to stay and sleep with you? Of course I do. But we're going to close our story as God intended. We never cared about God, and our story could be closed just as well tomorrow morning. In any case, I'm delighted to see that you still get aroused by me. Same here. You're aroused, too. Yes, go away. Yes, I'm going. Salvador opens the door. You're right. As usual. Remember that you've promised to visit me in Buenos Aires. Salvador nods, and Federico goes to the elevator. Federico turns back. Safe journey. Thank you for coming, really. I'll call to remind you. Salvador nods. Federico steps on the elevator and holds the door open. They share a wave, and Federico lets the door close. Wearing a thoughtful look, Salvador goes inside. He enters his bedroom, takes a pillow from the bed, and drops it on the floor in front of the cabinet. Kneeling, Salvador reaches inside and takes out the small case. He sets it on top of the cabinet and starts to open the small packet of heroin inside. Wearing an uncertain look, he pauses and stares off. He closes the packet and takes it to the bathroom. Salvador drops the drugs in the toilet and flushes. In the kitchen, he crushes pills in a baggie with the handle of a knife, then calls Mercedes on speakerphone. At home, Mercedes sits up in bed and answers the call. Yes, Salvador. Is this a good time? Yes, go ahead. I'd like to see Dr. Galindo as soon as possible. What have you taken? Nothing. A tranquilizer 2 hours ago and a few shots of tequila. Now I'm taking my legal ration of crushed tablets with liquid yogurt. And the gastroenterologist too? Yes, as soon as possible. Very well. Okay, bye. Bye. Salvador chops the crushed pills with the knife and hangs up his phone. He gathers the powder onto the knife's blade and drops it into a glass of liquid yogurt. In a waiting room, he and Mercedes sit before a backdrop of trees in a field. They share an awkward glance, and Mercedes stares off with a worried look. Salvador gazes at the ceiling, which features a photograph of tree limbs against a blue sky. Looking down, he smiles. A nurse enters the waiting room. Salvador Mayo?
Sí.
Yes.
Pasen por aquí, por
this way, please. The nurse opens an office door and Salvador and Mercedes go inside. A nameplate on the door reads, Dr. A. Galindo. Good morning, doctor. Good morning, come in. They sit across from the doctor. Thank you for finding time for us. Not at all. Tell me, Salvador. The pain in my back is killing me. The oxycodone does very little for me. Galindo types. We'll have to change your analgesic. Why didn't you come sooner? I was feeling very low. Yes, he's been very depressed. And what have you done to control the pain? I've started taking heroin. The doctor glances off with a thoughtful look, then raises his brow. And are you going to continue?
No.
That's why I'm here. How often did you take it? Every 2 or 3 days. In the end, every other day. Smoked on tinfoil. When was the last time? The night before last. Will I have withdrawal symptoms? A bit, but with a compassionate and controlled detoxification, you won't suffer. Compassionate and controlled? Yes, that's what it's called. Have you someone to help you? I'll be with him. How have you controlled this period without it? With tranquilizers and a will of iron. You're going to keep needing that will of iron because your mind knows the effect of heroin, and you don't forget that. Galindo types. You're still taking Paxtivi for your headaches? Yes, and with all the rest. For asthma, blood pressure, insomnia. But most of all, I need your help with the pain in my back and to put some order into everything I'm taking. With the migraines, too. The pain in my back and the headaches leave me totally paralyzed. I understand. Do you have a new project? To improve my quality of life. I mean work. It would do you good to be busy. Don't you miss it? I think about it every day. But it isn't a question of missing it or not. Filming is very physical work, and unfortunately, I'm in no shape to do it. Actually, that's my big problem. People worse than you have managed. I know. But I haven't been able to. My mother died 4 years ago. 2 years later, I had the back operation. I think I still haven't recovered from either thing. I need help. Fine. I'll change the oxycodone for another opiate. You'll think about heroin. Watch out for that. Yes. I'll give you prescriptions and explain the instructions. Do you mind if I leave and walk around? Go on. Thank you. Salvador shakes Galindo's hand and leaves the office. Mercedes watches him go, then faces the doctor. Let's see. There's something else. Something else? Salvador chokes frequently. An hour ago, coming to the hospital, he had a sip of water, and I thought he'd choked to death. The gastroenterologist did an endoscopy, and he found a lump pressing on his esophagus. That's why he chokes so easily. We don't know what the lump is. Does he know the result?
No.
They've ordered a CAT scan to be sure. But the gastroenterologist doesn't rule out that it's a tumor. What should I do? Do I tell him?
No.
Spare him at least 2 days of anguish. Please call me with the CAT scan results. Of course. Galindo stamps a document. On a nightstand, a rosary and a card reading San Antonio lie near old framed photos. Mercedes makes a bed and Salvador sits in an armchair.
Mercedes,
will you pass me that box, please? She gives him a decorative box. Thank you. I'm really touched that you've put me in your mother's room. Salvador nods and Mercedes smiles. He opens the box. In a flashback, Salvador brings a tray of muffins and milk to his elderly mother, who sits in the armchair with the box on her lap. I've brought you a snack. I'm not eating those black madeleines. They're whole grain. One day you'll bring me a plate of alfalfa to eat because now they say it's good for your heart. Won't you drink the milk? You have to try. Later. Sit down. Salvador sets down the milk. He sits. What are you doing? Trying to unravel these rosaries. I'll help you. You don't know how. She works on the tangled rosaries, then looks at Salvador. Do you remember how you have to lay me out? Yes, Mom. If we're in the village, call Petra. She's used to it. And if I die here, which I hope I don't, because I want to die in my bed, Maya and Mercedes will help you. Must we talk about this now? Yes. She pulls back a white cloth in the box. On my head, she takes out a black scarf. A half mantilla, because I'm a widow. Let me help you. I'll help you. He drapes the mantilla over his mother's head. Like this. And the habit of Jesus of Medina Celi with its girdle. Yes, with its girdle. You put a rosary between my hands. The old one. I want you to keep the new one. Wouldn't you prefer the new one? No. I want to be barefoot. If they tie my feet to bury me, you untie them and say I asked you to. The place where I'm going, I want to go in very lightly. She takes a pen from the box. Do you remember this pen? Of course. Your father gave it to me. With it, I wrote all the letters when we were courting. And the wooden egg? She takes the egg from the box. I darned so much with this egg. Of all these things, it's the least valuable. Give it to me. She puts it in Salvador's hand. Here, you've just inherited it. Now, in Salvador's kitchen. I think about her a lot recently. It's the first time I've heard you say that you still haven't got over your mother's death. I think a lot about my childhood, too, when I'm dozing, which is most of the time. I end up thinking about my mother when I was a child. But you never talked about her or your childhood in your films. My mother didn't like me to. You think so? Salvador nods. She told me one of the last times she was in the hospital. In a flashback. Your legs are so clean, Mom. I took after my family in that. There are no varicose veins in my family. What a pity, love. Why? You won't have a good old age. Why not? You took after your father's family. Mom, the things you say. Did you sleep well last night? So-so. I was with my neighbor Lola all night. Here? In the room? No, in dreams. I dreamed about her all night. I'd just arrived in the village. And I heard Lola knocking on my door, as always, when she heard me arrive from Madrid. Even though it was a dream, I remembered that Lola was dead. But I opened the door, and there she was, just the same as ever. Except that she was a bit transparent, Salvador laughs. But I wasn't scared. I said, Lola, I suppose you're not happy, and you want me to do something. But you have to tell me what, and I promise I'll do it. No, Jacinta, I'm happy, she answered. How can you be happy, I said. If you were, you wouldn't appear. I'm appearing to you because my daughters would be very scared. But why are you coming to the village when it's so cold? I don't feel cold or heat now, she answered. And there's nowhere better than your house. Jacinta smiles. You're right about that, I said. She stares off. What else? Salvador eyes her curiously. Don't get that storyteller look. I don't want you putting any of this in your films. I don't like my neighbors appearing. I don't like autofiction. What do you know about autofiction? I heard you explain it in an interview. My neighbors don't like you showing them. They think you show them like rednecks. The things you say, I couldn't treat them with more respect or devotion. Whenever I can, I talk about you, and I say that you and the neighbors made me what I am. I owe everything to you. She shakes her head. They don't like it. In the kitchen, Jacinta sews. Let's go for a walk. You haven't moved today. Because I had nowhere to go. Now you do. Where? To the hallway. Jacinta puts down her sewing and takes Salvador's arm. She uses a cane as he walks her out of the kitchen. That's it. They walk down the hall. You haven't been a good son.
No?
No. You never forgave me for recommending you to the pious woman. I think you took revenge for that. I didn't want you to go to the seminary either, but we were poor. It's true I didn't want to go, but to say I wanted revenge, how can you think that? Later, they sit together. After you got your diploma, you couldn't wait to get to Madrid. And when your father died, I asked if you wanted me to live with you. You wriggled out of it. You said you were living a life that you couldn't share with me. And it was true, but not as you understood it. I understood it perfectly. I'm very bad on my feet, but my head is clear as a bell. When I wasn't traveling, I was filming. You couldn't have put up with the solitude of an apartment in Madrid. That was no life for you. I'd have looked after you. I'd have adapted, as I've done to so many things. But you didn't want it. And that hurt me. Salvador wears a somber look. Mom, I'm very sorry I was never the son you wanted. He stares at her, then drops his gaze. When you used to say, "Who did this child take after?" You weren't exactly saying it with pride. And I realized. Salvador's chin quivers. Jacinta wears a thoughtful frown. I've failed you simply by being as I am. I'm very sorry. In her room, Jacinta sits in bed. Salvador faces her. Pass me St. Anthony. Salvador gives her the card. Here. Jacinta kisses it. She smiles at her son. I'll pray for you tonight. Thank you. Salvador puts the card on the nightstand. Salvador? I brought you into this world, and I slaved so you could get ahead. I know. Jacinta wears a poignant expression. Take me to the village. That's my last and only wish. Salvador nods. Very well. We'll go to the village. With Maya, so she can do the housework. I'll look after you day and night. This time I won't let you down. With tears in her eyes, Jacinta smiles at Salvador. She touches her son's cheek. Salvador holds her hand and kisses it. In present day. But I couldn't keep my promise. The next day, she went back to hospital. You did what you could. Yes. But she wanted to die in the village. and I'd promised to take her there.
La pobre
the poor thing died in the ICU of a hospital. Alone. In a waiting room, Mercedes holds invitations. You're invited to give a talk in Iceland. It's well paid. I don't understand why they like me so much in Iceland. Neither do I. This is from a little gallery. But I kept it. The drawing is lovely. Furrowing his brow, Salvador takes a watercolor print from her. It depicts a boy in a red shirt, sitting and reading a book. Salvador Mayo? Yes. You can come in. In a CAT scan room, a technician guides Salvador. Sit down here slowly. He complies, and the technician touches his back. While I raise your legs, you turn your body and gradually lie down. She helps him lie on a table. Thank you. The technician taps on controls. Red beams light up on the large, tire-shaped scanner. The table holding Salvador rises and slides into the machine. The red beams project lines onto his face. In the sunny cave kitchen, young Salvador sits and reads. Wearing a red shirt, he resembles the boy in the watercolor print. Potted flowers decorate the room. The boy looks at Eduardo, who works on a nearly complete tile backsplash. The young man glances at Salvador, then spreads cement on the last decorative tile. The boy continues reading. When's your mother coming? At lunchtime. When she sews at the pious woman's house, she stays all morning. Eduardo finishes adhering the tile and sets down his trowel. He grabs a large piece of brown packaging paper, partially painted white. Taking it to the table, Eduardo sits and pulls a pencil from behind his ear. Okay. Okay, Salvador, don't move. Stay there. Eduardo starts to draw on the packaging paper. Salvador holds his chin in his hand. Can you hold the book with both hands? Salvador nods and complies. That's it. Studying the boy carefully, Eduardo continues drawing. The young artist looks up from his work, staring at Salvador. The boy glances at him. Eduardo adds to the sketch, then gazes wide-eyed at his subject. Salvador's mouth moves as he reads. Now raise your head. Salvador straightens up, then looks down. Eduardo draws. The young artist stands, taking the paper to Salvador. Eduardo shows him the portrait. What do you think? It's lovely. I still have to finish it. I'll take it home and do it. Yes. Eduardo puts the portrait on the table. Do you mind if I get washed? Look at the state I'm in. Yes, I'll get a bar of soap. Salvador walks out. Eduardo moves a metal basin to the boy's chair. Salvador returns with the soap. Here. Thanks. Taking the soap, Eduardo watches the boy leave. Salvador enters a bedroom and lies on his side. In the kitchen, Eduardo hangs his shirt on the chair. He puts the soap in the basin and takes off his shorts. Resting in the bedroom, Salvador's face glistens with a thin layer of sweat, and his face appears flushed. He opens his eyes. In the kitchen, Eduardo uses a plastic bowl to pour water over his back. His underwear and shorts hang over the chair. The muscular young man rubs soap on his upper back. Salvador's eyes remain open a crack. Naked, Eduardo stands with one foot in the basin as he pours water over his leg. Salvador blinks, then closes his eyes. He opens them again. Eduardo pours water over his head, and it drips down his body. The flushed boy looks drowsy. Salvador, will you bring me a towel? Coming, Eduardo. Salvador gets off the bed. He walks out to the hall and takes a towel from a pile. He takes the towel to the kitchen doorway. He finds Eduardo still nude, ruffling his wet hair. Salvador stares wide-eyed and his mouth drops open. In slow motion, the towel drops. He reaches for it and collapses. Eduardo rushes forward. Later, he sits by Salvador's bed, fully dressed. He feels the boy's forehead. You're burning up. You must have gotten sunstroke. Lying down, Salvador nods. Jacinta arrives home, carrying bags. She looks in the bedroom and hurries to her son.
Salvador,
what happened? He got a lot of sun. I was reading. Didn't you notice the sun shining on you? You're burning up. I didn't notice. And you, what? I finished putting up the tiles. He fainted and I brought him here. You fainted? A bit. I got dizzy. Oh my God, stay here. I'll get a vinegar poultice. Where's your father? In the bar? Yes. He told me he'd stay in the house. Eduardo follows Jacinta to the kitchen. She notices the basin on the chair. What's this basin doing here? I had a wash. Couldn't you wait till you got home? It's hard work for me carrying water here. I was very dirty. I'll bring a basin and dry the floor. Bring me water and I'll dry it. Eduardo points at the backsplash. The tiles turned out nicely. Jacinta looks at Eduardo's work. Yes, very nice, thank you. His smile fades. I'll get the water. Frowning, he grabs the basin and heads out. Jacinta pours vinegar on a cloth, then watches Eduardo leave. As she walks to the doorway, she notices the sketch of Salvador on the table. In present day, Salvador and Mercedes sit with a radiologist in her office. First, I want to reassure you, there's no tumor. That's totally discounted. But something's wrong because I choke even on purees. What you've got, that dysphagia, is due to Forestier syndrome. You'll see it more clearly here. She points to a scan. You see this white part next to the vertebra? It's an osteocyte, an ossification. Here you can see the esophagus displaced by that ossification. There's practically no room for food to get through, not even liquids. That's why you choke. Why did that bone grow so much? Forestier syndrome is a rare disease, and we don't know what causes it. We know that it affects tendons, ligaments, and joints, which calcify, and we don't know why. In your case, the anterior ligament of the spine has calcified. Can anything be done? Surgery, to get rid of that calcification. But don't worry, it isn't a risky operation. The gastroenterologist and the surgeon can tell you more. Thank you. Outside an art gallery, Salvador and Mercedes head to the entrance. A sign reads, Arte Popular. They step inside, passing a colorful, stylized painting depicting wildlife. Salvador finds the watercolor painting of himself as a boy, framed and hanging on a wall. A man approaches.
Buenas.
Hello. Do you like the watercolor? Yes, I'd like to buy it. Who's the artist? It's anonymous. Almost all the works are unsigned. How did it get here? I bought it at the flea market in Barcelona. It's one of my favorite works. So you have no idea who the artist is? There's something written on the back. But they're all anonymous artists who probably don't even know they're artists. In Mercedes' car, Salvador reads the message on the back of the painting. Dear Salvador, I'm sending the drawing to your house because I don't have the school address. I'm happy to be able to write to you. You taught me, and I'm very grateful to you. I'm working in Conchita's uncle's store, and I'm very good at numbers. All thanks to you. It's nice here, but I miss life in the caves, and you in particular. Every time I write, I think of your hand guiding mine. I'm sure you're learning a lot at school, reading lots of books and seeing lots of films. Here's my address in Bilbao. Maybe you'll write and tell me. Your pupil, Eduardo. Looking moved, Salvador takes off his glasses and wipes his eyes. Mercedes glances at him with a small smile. Now our view travels down the watercolor painting, which partially obscures a cement logo on the packaging paper. A phone plays an old black and white video of a woman singing in a hammock. Salvador types at his computer. He wears a focused expression. Mercedes enters and watches her friend.
Salvador.
You'll have to start getting dressed in half an hour. Remind me just before. Mercedes nods. Salvador continues concentrating on his work. A close view moves across capital letters on the monitor, spelling out a title, The First Desire. On a street, Mercedes drives Salvador. What happened with the drawing? Salvador glances at her, then lifts his brow. Eduardo sent it to Paterna. My mother would have got it. I was at the priest's school. She never sent it or mentioned it. He shakes his head. Are you going to look for him? Salvador's eyes widen. For Eduardo? With Google, or going to Paterna and asking about him 50 years later? Smirking, Salvador shakes his head. It's a good idea for a story, and maybe I'll write it. But looking for him would be crazy. How did it get to the flea market in Barcelona? No idea. By chance. What matters is it finally got to the one it was intended for. At the hospital, nurses wheel a bed carrying Salvador into an operating room. An IV bag hangs from an attached pole. The nurses position the bed by an operating table. One of the nurses pulls a sheet off of Salvador. We're going to move you over here bit by bit. They transfer Salvador to the table. Your head here. His head rests on a donut pillow. While one nurse sets up the IV, another wheels away the bed. A nurse brings over patient monitoring cables. I have to pull this down a bit and put some stickers on your chest. She lowers his hospital gown and attaches electrodes to his bare chest. Salvador stares off nervously, his eyes shifting. The nurse clips cables to the electrode stickers. Galindo approaches and peers down at Salvador. How are you? Hello, doctor. I heard. No wonder you couldn't swallow. But don't worry, we'll get rid of this right away. Salvador nods. Doctor, yes? I'm writing again. That's good news. I'm delighted. And what is it, drama or comedy? I don't know. You never know until... Salvador falls unconscious. Now colorful fireworks explode in a dark sky. From a doorway, young Salvador watches with a grin. In the station, Jacinta lies on the floor under a blanket while her son lies on the bench. Mom? Do you think there's a cinema in Paterna? Jacinta glances back at him. If we have a house, that'll be enough for me. Jacinta shuts her eyes and Salvador turns away. Our view pulls back, revealing a woman holding a boom mic. Lighting equipment lies on the floor near the actress playing Jacinta. Behind equipment, Salvador holds a headphone to his ear. The director lowers it. Cut. We've cut. A woman holds a slate. 38-5 first, final clapper. Turning it right side up, she reveals a title on the slate, The First Desire. The woman steps away and the actress sits up. She touches the child actor's side and he turns on his back. The actress smiles at him and the image freezes. Fade to black. Credits appear in Spanish. A film by Almodóvar. Produced by El Primer Deseo AIE and El Deseo DA. With the special collaboration of Cecilia Roth, Susie Sanchez, Raúl Arevalo, Pedro Casablanc, Julián López, Eva Martín, Sara Sierra, Constancia Céspedes, Rosalía, Marisol Muriel, Paqui Orcajo, Alba Gómez, Xavi Saez, Aline Casagrande, Luis Calero, Virgil Mathet, Chimezi Eke, Esperanza Guardado, Agustín Almodóvar, Miguel Rivera, Eneco Galende, Fernando Iglesias. Credits continue in Spanish. Copyright El Primer Deseo AIE and El Deseo DA. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from Sony Pictures Classics, read by Sylvie Zamora. For more information about motion picture access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org. A royal blue background fills the screen with white words at its center, Sony Pictures Classics.